Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live, a show-stopping, red carpet walking, elegant award show, September 29th to a Metro Detroit theater, is the hottest award show of the year. It's the first annual Spoken Word Billboard Awards, celebrating the Hot 100 ranking artists from across the globe in the elegant facility of the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan, featuring performances by R&B sensation Laurie Edwards, hip-hop phenomenon Zach One, soul singer Stephen Guy White, spoken word artist Romeo Donati, romantic blues musician Elvin Lloyd Horn, poet Jamie McConnell, vocalist Alfreda Castello, poet Dom Touch Artist Register, spoken word artist Jazzy Sadilk, and so many more. Be prepared for sheer entertainment that will touch every possible human emotion in your body, making you thirsty and already anticipating the next year's event. Tickets are $25 and are available through the Village Theater box office. Call 734-394-5300. To reserve your ticket today.
Good evening. This is Lori Coburn with Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Tonight we are going to be talking about the idea that there is no death. Looking at the idea of death as viewed through A Course in Miracles. Tonight we will be taking calls at the call-in number 917-932-8881. So call in with your questions, and at this point we will start by reading the Manual for Teachers, number 27, What is Death? And later we will be looking at lesson 163, There is No Death, The Son of God is Free. One thing about A Course in Miracles is that it is the most comprehensive thought system I have ever found on all matters spiritual, why we are here, how we got here, where we're going. It is also the most positive, loving, beautiful message I have ever heard. In this section, What is Death? A Course in Miracles looks at the idea of death in our society and turns it upside down. Many concepts that we think of as normal are turned completely on their head in A Course in Miracles and interpreted quite differently. It forces you to think outside the box, and when you do, you start feeling more hopeful, more alive, more centered in your life here. So as we read from Manual number 27, What is Death? Feel free to call in with your questions. Paragraph 1. Death is the central dream from which all illusions stem. Is it not madness to think of life as being born, aging, losing vitality, and dying in the end? We have asked this question before, but now we need to consider it more carefully. It is the one fixed, unchangeable belief of the world that all things in it are born only to die. This is regarded as, quote, the way of nature, unquote, not to be raised to question, but to be accepted as the, quote, unquote, natural law of life, the cyclical, the changing, and unsure, the undependable and unsteady, waxing and waning in a certain way upon a certain path. All this is taken as the will of God, and no one asks if a benign creator could will this. I have to differ with that last line where it says, and no one asks if a benign creator could will this. I've asked that my entire life, and that's why coming upon A Course in Miracles answered my questions about life's suffering in a way that no other spiritual path ever did. And I studied many, many of them, from Western Christianity, Judaism, Islam, to the Eastern religions of Hinduism and Buddhism. I looked at all the different ones, and none of them made total sense to me. And I have to say, there are some parts in A Course in Miracles that I don't totally agree with or totally understand at this point, but for the most part, it has answered more of my questions about life's suffering than anything else. as I was growing up as a little girl, all the suffering in the world troubled me immensely. I could not understand how I was told that God was loving, and yet I saw all this suffering around me. It made no sense at all. And the biblical stories that I was raised with, that man was doing this to himself, that it was because of the fall of Adam and Eve, it was because we were sinners. We have to have faith like Job. We have to have faith like Abraham, who was supposed to sacrifice Isaac for God. None of those made any sense to my little mind. And my minister said, have faith. And I thought, have faith in what? A cruel God who would put us here and then say that we were here for his pleasure or to do his will, and if we didn't do it exactly right, then we were going to be sent to hell? Did not make sense. Did not make sense at all. And yet, I was a born-again Christian, baptized of my own will as a teenager, studied the Bible weekly, daily, in my spiritual youth group, born again, went to Billy Graham crusades, tried to convince other people to become Christians. Total born-again Christian, because that was all I ever knew. Until I started thinking for myself, and I questioned my minister and said, I don't know about this God that would send you to eternal death in hell. Why would God make me? And then if I did something wrong, send me to eternal damnation. I wouldn't do that to my own child. And he said, have faith. Have faith. And that's where I said, in what? In that? And he said, well, if you don't have faith, you're going to go to hell too. And with that, I left the church. But I didn't find A Course in Miracles until about, 25 years later? Okay, so death is the central dream from which all illusions stem. What does that mean? A Course in Miracles tells us that we are dreaming our lives, that we are making all of this up, that the entire cosmos is a projection from our minds, just like when we're in bed at night sleeping and we think the dream is real and we react at nighttime just as if it were real. If we get hurt or if someone gets killed in our dreams, we wake up with a pounding heart and sweaty palms. And we go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that was a dream. We're dreaming, just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, going down the yellow brick road with the lions and the tigers and the bears. And it's our emotions and our body sensations that make the dream feel so real. But we are not these bodies. We are mind projecting these bodies. And only with bodies can there be death. Think about that. Bodies seem to be born, seem to age, and then seem to die. And during that dash between the birth date and the death date, they go through all kinds of struggles, illnesses, difficulties, growing pains, struggles to get by in life. And if we knew ourselves as spirit and not as bodies, could we ever be born? Could we ever die? That is why A Course in Miracles says death is the central dream from which all illusions stem. The next line, it says, is it not madness to think of life as being born, aging, losing vitality, and dying in the end? Is it not madness to think of life? Life! Life! Life shouldn't have these opposites of being born and then aging. And then if you've watched anyone age lately, and I'm sure you have because it's all over the place now that people are living longer, there was a magazine cover, not the New Yorker, but the New York magazine, in which it showed a picture of a woman from the 40s, and the caption said, Mom, I love you. Mom, I want you to die. The interminable suffering of the new old age. And that is what's going on. We watch our parents now, our loved ones, lived for 10 years or so in dementia, in the decline of their bodies. We're able to repair the bodies physically, but we can't repair them mentally. I watched that with my father, and it was grueling. When my father finally dropped his body, died, quote unquote, it was such a relief. There is no death. I know that for a fact from my father's death, because he is with me all the time. And not only with me in spirit, in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, but also he has come to me and shown me in a number of unusual serendipitous occurrences that he's still around, that he still loves me, that he's still with me, because he is spirit. He was not his body. There is no death. And when we can get to that place, we will find a sense of freedom and peace. When you look at all of the problems that you have in life, aren't they often ways of warding off inevitable death? You've got to go to work to put food on the table, to put shelter over your head, to make your way in the world, to have pleasure in this short little time that you're here. Those are all warding off death. You've got to eat right or take your vitamins or exercise so you don't get sick. That's all warding off death. Almost all of our actions are done to ward off death. Look at your day. Look at getting up out of bed in the morning. And you have to set the alarm clock so you're not late to work, so you don't lose your job. You have to make sure that you get food on the table so that you're not hungry or so that your kids aren't hungry. Warding off death, or what we believe in death. As we will see shortly, death is just an idea. Number 5 in paragraph 1, this is regarded as the way of nature, that all things are born only to die. And we accept this as the natural law of life. That reminds me of the Disney movie, The Lion King, which I love that movie. In there, there's a song where they talk about the circle of life. The circle of life, this thing dies in order to become food for something else, and then life goes on, the circle of life. Although I love the movie, I don't agree with that song, because I don't care for that type of view of life. That is the natural way here. That is what nature does. But would God create nature full of death like that? The Course says not. The Course says this is a world of illusions that we have made up in our minds. God did not create it, which flies in the face of almost every religion. It even flies in the face of the idea of the dream in Hinduism, at least with the way certain teachers teach it. One of my earlier Hindu teachers was talking about the dream, that this is all a dream, but that God placed us in the dream. There are other teachers who don't teach that. But any concept of a God that put us here so we could learn and grow and come back to him carries with it the idea of duality and death. The duality of the opposites, life and death, birth and dying, living and dying, the sun and the moon, things that come and go. So life here is really not life, because it's all made up of opposites. Opposites that always oppose each other, left and right, in and out, up and down, white and black, positive and negative. That is an idea of death. Duality, the world that we live in that is full of opposites, is the idea of death, because there is no getting out of that circle that what goes up must come down, what goes in must come out. The male and the female need to join together, and we're attracted. Opposites attract, and yet we can't stand each other, and we can't live with each other. We can't live with each other, and we can't live without each other. And yet that is what we accept as the quote-unquote natural way of things. the cyclical, changing, and unsure, the waxing and waning of the moon. As this verse says, all this is taken as the will of God. Well, I used to say to God before I found A Course in Miracles and knew that I was projecting this world, I used to say, God, if you made this world, I don't think you did a very good job of it. I could have done a lot better than you with my simple little mind, because this world is a world full of pain, and I don't really appreciate you putting me here. I think there are a lot of people that are religious or go according to their religious dictates, but they're not really thinking for themselves. They're following the rules, just like I did, afraid to speak up to God. Because when I spoke up to God, I remember a friend of mine saying, you swear at God? And I said, yeah, if he made me, then he can take it. And he said, aren't you afraid you're going to be sent to hell? And I said, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see why. Supposedly he loves me, or it loves me. And now I don't see God quite in the same way as I used to. But whatever definition you have of God, go with that definition if it works for you. But now I see God as a totally loving force that is benign, that is both personal and impersonal, that is not this thing or this bully that made this world. I've noticed it even last week, this idea of death, this idea of God as a bully. God is going to send me to my death if I don't do exactly what I'm supposed to do, and that death is inevitable. And that's really sad. Paragraph 2. In this perception of the universe as God created it, it would be impossible to think of him as loving. That's what I felt. Line 2. For who has decreed that all things pass away, ending in dust and disappointment and despair, can but be feared? And certain religions tell us that it's good to fear God. I don't think so. I don't want to fear my dad. No. I was lucky enough to have a model of unconditional love in my earthly father. And I can't imagine that God, who supposedly loves us infinitely more than we can possibly love each other, would love me less than my earthly father did, who would never send me to hell, who would never teach me a lesson because I didn't obey. Things like that. Those are ideas of death. Line 3, he holds your little life in his hand, but by a thread, ready to break it off without regret or care, perhaps today. You don't know, you're like a lamb to the slaughterhouse, right? Or if he waits, yet is the ending certain. Who loves such a God knows not of love, because he has denied that life is real. Death has become life's symbol. This is where A Course in Miracles is telling us that we have it all backwards, that death now becomes the symbol of life rather than the other way around. We don't even know what life is. We're so used to the idea of death being purported as the natural way of things here, that we don't even know what true life is. We can't even really conceive of total love and total life. We don't know how to take it in. But as we forgive the world and forgive our illusions and choose love over and over and over again and choose to view the illusion through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, we come to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Remove the barriers to truth, to life, to true love. Paragraph 3. Death is the symbol of the fear of God. His love is blotted out in the idea, which holds it from awareness like a shield held up to obscure the sun. The grimness of the symbol is enough to show it cannot coexist with God. It holds an image of the Son of God in which he is, quote, laid to rest, unquote, in devastation's arms, where worms wait to greet him and to last a little while by his destruction. Yet the worms are as well are doomed to be destroyed as certainly. and so do all things live because of death. Devouring is nature's law of life. God is insane, and fear alone is real. Now, this sentence is a mockery on the ego's view of what death and life mean according to our small minds. That devouring, that being laid to rest, oh, and aren't we just sad, but he's laid to rest, but now he's going up to God in heaven. All these symbols, this grimness, this death, this stuff is not the truth. It's not the truth about God. It's not the truth about love. And when we accept these ideas as truth, we are limiting our allness. We are limiting the love that we are, that God is. Paragraph 4. The curious belief that there is a part of dying things that may go on apart from what will die does not proclaim a loving God nor reestablish any grounds for trust. That would be talking about the spirit goes up to heaven. So the body dies, but the spirit goes to heaven. If death is real for anything, there is no life. Death denies life. But if there is reality in life, death is denied. No compromise in this is possible. This is where A Course in Miracles is uncompromising in its insistence that we have either truth or illusion. If we have one spot of sadness, illness, death, decay, anger, separation, war, poverty, any of those which the Course calls all forms of death in its varying ideas, varying ways. If we have any spot of that at all, then we are in the illusion. We believe that we are separate from life, from God, from love, and we're separate from truth. And the Course says no compromise in this is possible. And that's where I found after my dad died that it was really, really helpful, because I noticed all of my conditioned patterns to what the idea of death is rising up. Oh my God, I can't go see my dad anymore. And I would start crying. I'd see a picture of my dad and I'd start crying. I'd think my dad is gone and I'd start crying. At his memorial service, I was a total wreck all day long, because here our family was together and it was the first time he wasn't there, and I was just bawling all day long. And when those thoughts would come up, I would let the energy run through, let the tears come up, let the grief come up, and breathe it out and breathe through it and allow it and forgive it, forgive those false ideas, and then remind myself, ah, that's right. There is no death. The Son of God is free. My dad was not, is not, never was his body. He is spirit. I am spirit. We are mind. We are love. And love cannot be destroyed and cannot be separate from itself. There is oneness. There is one love. And this is the truth. This is the wholeness and the freedom and the escape from this idea, this false idea of death, and this idea that we are doomed here on this planet. Because really, look at it. Global warming, disasters, wars, the economic, financial crisis, all of these problems, pollution of our air and our water, the main staples of life, quote unquote, for the body. We're a mess. We are an absolute mess if we think we are physical beings. We're in trouble, big time. But when we know that we are spirit, that we cannot die, that we are life itself, that we are love itself, and we choose to look on the world with the eyes of Christ's vision, the Holy Spirit's vision, forgiveness, we are reminded and brought back home to our right mind that sees this all as a dream. And we remember that we are the dreamers and we cannot die. And as I put this into practice after my dad dropped his body, it's truth or illusion, no compromise between the two. When I was in the illusion and believing ideas of death, I was miserable. When I would insist on truth, That's when the miracles happened. That's when he showed up in these strange ways that showed me that he was there, little things that he would have done that were out of time and space types of miracles, things that could not happen, like this is too weird types of things. Feeling his presence, feeling his love, knowing that the oneness is still there, then the mind is at peace. I was at peace. If we go on in paragraph 4, line 6, there is either a God of fear or one of love. The world attempts 1,000 compromises and will attempt 1,000 more. Not one can be acceptable to God's teachers because not one could be acceptable to God. He did not make death because he did not make fear. Both are equally meaningless to him. I'd like to remind people that they can call in with questions at 917-932-8881. I love that. The world attempts 1,000 compromises and will attempt 1,000 more. We've all done that. We've all tried to say, well, maybe God's teaching me a lesson here, or maybe I didn't do this right and God is withholding this from me so that I can learn. Or we have these subconscious beliefs about God as in the collective unconscious. We are all affected by that. One of the things I like to think is even with people who don't believe in God, they still know the story of Adam and Eve. It's a cultural story. It's a pervasive attitude. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and got thrown out of paradise. You don't have to have been raised in a religious home to know that story. And we, because of that story, that theme that somehow we have displeased God and we are in big doo-doo because of it. If you think about God as total love and you let go of the idea that bodies are real, that is an absolutely ludicrous idea. That's what this is saying. God did not make death. He didn't banish us from paradise because he did not make fear. We don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to worry that we have displeased God. When you get to the idea that God is love and God is oneness is, love is with no opposite, oneness, total non-duality, that's what God is. And that is an intuitive leap. But somewhere in the back of our minds, we know the truth of that. Why do we hearken back to God? Even if we go through stepping stone paths, such as religions with rules that get us to the idea of a loving creator, or even if we go through Christianity that said, we screwed up, but God's going to send Jesus in to pay the price for us. That is a loving thought on one level. That's a very loving thought that Jesus took the blame, took the sacrifice. Even though I don't believe in that anymore, when I was a born-again Christian, I did. And I loved Jesus for that, and I was grateful for that. So we have these stepping stone beliefs from God's going to get you for that to maybe God's not going to get you, maybe God does love you, to the place then another point in that would be coming to the fact that you are one with God. God is in you. God is you. God is one with everything. Everything is you. Everything is God. Everything is love. That's oneness without opposite. Love has no object. Love simply is. And the minute love is limited to an object, to a specific person or a specific thing or a specific action that you did, then it's no longer love. Because love cannot condemn. Love simply is. And when you meditate on that or pray on that or ask the Holy Spirit to give you that vision, you see life in a completely different way. You cannot see yourself as this limited little body. You just can't do it. That's where it's talking about there's no compromise. It's all love, or it's all death, fear, illusion. Love cannot be part of this illusion, and yet love is all there is. Paragraph 5. The quote-unquote reality of death is firmly rooted in the belief that God's Son is a body. And if God created bodies, death would indeed be real. But God would not be loving. There is no point at which the contrast between the perception of the real world and that of the world of illusions becomes more sharply evident. And you know that. If you've ever been in the hospital with someone you love and you watch their body die, or if you've ever been with someone and watched them suffer and decay, if you've ever been with someone who has a mental illness or an excruciating physical illness, you know that how can that be love? That's not love. That is not love. And that whole idea of death, be it in the form of physical illness, mental illness, whatever, is not love. It's simply not. Death is indeed the death of God, if he is love. And now his own creation must stand in fear of him. He is not father, but destroyer. He is not creator, but avenger. Terrible his thoughts and fearful his image. To look on his creations is to die. And is that the kind of God we want? Paragraph 6, quote, and the last to be overcome will be death, unquote. That's a biblical quote. Of course, the Miracles goes on to say, without the idea of death, there is no world. All dreams will end with this one. Therefore, if you let go of the idea of death, then you've let go of the idea of the illusion. And there can be no more illusion for you. Death is the central dream from which all illusions stem. That's the first line in this discourse. Watch, look around you. Look at all the ideas of death that you hold and know that they are not true. They are not true. Paragraph 6, line 5, this is salvation's final goal, the end of all illusions. And in death are all illusions born. What can be born of death and still have life? But what is born of God and still can die? The inconsistencies, the compromises, and the rituals the world fosters in its vain attempts to cling to death and yet to think love real are mindless magic, ineffectual and meaningless. God is, and in him all created things must be eternal. Do you not see that otherwise he has an opposite and fear would be as real as love? That is the loving message of A Course in Miracles, that love is the only thing that's real. It's right in the introduction to the entire book. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And when you practice the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles and your mind is shifted to know that this idea that there is no death, to know that love is, God is, it's the only reality, it's true, it happens. You are brought to this place of peace that you never knew was possible. I've had insights and changes in my life from doing these workbook lessons, from understanding these concepts. And then once you understand them, you let them go. A Course in Miracles says it's just one path to God, and when you get it, you'll let it go because you don't need it anymore. Once you get to the place God is, and that's a stabilized perception for you, you don't need the book. You don't need any religion. You don't need any path. You just need to know your oneness with God. That is it. That is what A Course in Miracles calls salvation. But it also says salvation's an illusion. There's nothing to be saved from. The only thing to be saved from is your false perception, your illusion that you're projecting from your mind. It's not real. There's nothing out there, so there's nothing to be saved from. You're already home. And all these mystics who have become enlightened, who have awakened to the truth of their being, their true identity, their capital S self. They all say the same thing. Oh, once you wake up, you see that none of it was ever real anyway, and that there was nothing to wake up from. There is no me that wakes up. And that is absolute freedom and absolute peace, and it's the only peace and freedom that we will ever find while we perceive ourselves to be in this world of duality and opposites, where love could have an opposite like death or fear. Paragraph 7. Teacher of God, your one assignment could be stated thus: accept no compromise in which death plays a part. Do not believe in cruelty, nor let attack conceal the truth from you. What seems to die has but been misperceived and carried to illusion. Now it becomes your task to let the illusion be carried to the truth. Be steadfast, but in this, be not deceived by the reality, quote-unquote, of any changing form. Truth neither moves nor wavers, nor sinks down to death and dissolution. And what is the end of death? Nothing but this: the realization that the Son of God is guiltless now and forever. Nothing but this. But do not let yourself forget it is not less than this. We have about 10 minutes, a little less than that, left. We go 45 minutes on this show now. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. And we will move from this to lesson 163. There is no death. The Son of God is free. This is a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Paragraph 1. Death is a thought that takes on many forms, often unrecognized. Notice that. It's just a thought. That's all death is. You can laugh at it. But look at all the forms that it takes on. It may appear as sadness, fear, anxiety, or doubt, as anger, faithlessness, and lack of trust, concern for bodies, envy, and all forms in which the wish to be as you are not may come to tempt you. All such thoughts are but reflections of the worshiping of death as Savior and giver of release. You hear that old line, there's nothing certain but death and taxes. And that's made fun of here. It says in paragraph 3, all things but death are seen to be unsure, too quickly lost, however hard to gain. And line 2 is, but death is counted on, for it will come with certain footsteps when the time has come for its arrival. It will never fail to take all life as hostage to itself. I know that the ego part of me completely freaked out watching my dad die. I watched him die for about 8 years prior to his actual physical death. And it is frightening, thinking, oh gosh, when I get that age, that's going to happen to me, and it is not pretty. It's scary as all get out. And yet, that's taking life hostage. Death is going to come. Death is going to take us hostage. But when we know that we are not these bodies, that's when we can breathe, remember truth, and be at peace. And you can watch the body dissipate and fade and laugh at it, because that's not you. That is not you. You are whole. I'm going to skip ahead to paragraph 7 in lesson 163. The idea of the death of God is so preposterous that even the insane have difficulty in believing it. The insane is all of us. The Course tells us we are insane because we believe in our mad illusions of death. We believe that this world that we have projected outside of us is real. And it's a murderous, mad world. Everything dies. Everything attacks. Everything has to defend itself against attack from others. There's no oneness out there. There's only death. For it implies that God was once alive and somehow perished, killed, apparently, by those who did not want him to survive. Their stronger will could triumph over his, and so eternal life gave way to death, and with the Father died the Son as well. And now this is saying this facetiously. This is saying that this is what the ego believes, but it is not true, because there is no death. The Son of God is free. The prayer, the blessing at the end of the lesson 163 is this: Our Father, bless our eyes today. We are your messengers, and we would look upon the glorious reflection of your love, which shines in everything. We live and move in you alone. We are not separate from your eternal life. There is no death, for death is not your will. And we abide where you have placed us, in the life we share with you and with all living things, to be like you and part of you forever. We accept your thoughts as ours, and our will is one with yours eternally. Amen. That's the love of God. The life eternal, the oneness eternal, the joy eternal. A Course in Miracles in Lesson 93 says, Light and joy and peace abide in me. And Lesson 101 says, God is but love, and therefore so am I. God's will for me is perfect happiness. That's all it is. It's love. Love is the only thing there is. Lesson 127 says, There is no love but God's. That's a lesson in oneness. That's a lesson that says everything that you love is the same. When you're separating out and saying, I love this person more than that person, I love this thing more than that thing, that's not love. That's separation. So God's will for me is perfect happiness, is lesson 101. God is but love, therefore so am I. I think I said that wrong. I don't know which lesson that is, I forget. But lesson 103 is God being love is also happiness. God being love is also happiness. To fear him is to be afraid of joy. God being love is also happiness. And it is happiness I seek today. I cannot fail because I seek the truth. Why can't we fail? Because we're not these bodies to begin with. We can't possibly fail. We're not bodies. We are spirit. We are already home with God. Lesson 131 says, No one can fail who seeks to reach the truth. But the lesson right before that, 130, is, It is impossible to see two worlds. We either see the world of illusion that we made, or we see the love of God. There's no compromise between the two. No compromise. It's truth or illusion. And that is one of the hardest lessons we will ever learn. The Course says, The hardest lesson you'll ever learn is that truth is true and nothing else is true. For truth to be true, there could be no opposite to it, because if there's an opposite to it, it's not true. The love of God, the allness of God, the oneness, is eternal, formless, and never changes. Because if it changes, it can't be absolute truth. If it dies, it can't be eternal and absolute truth. And if it has form, form has to die, so it can't be absolute truth. So the love of God is all there is. And my time is almost up. My website is www.loricoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, LoriCoburn.com. I have YouTube videos on there. I have lots of questions where you can ask me your questions about A Course in Miracles. And I wish you an awareness of your truth as the love of God, the awareness of your true identity as the holy child of God. Good night, and thank you very much, And I'll be back next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Good night.